Welcome to the first episode of Opinions of Value, Valkyrie's very own virtual chat series. We're so glad that you could join us for the launch. The series was created to encourage open and honest dialogue about the health and state of the commercial real estate industry and through the lens of commercial appraisers. Valuation professionals are at the heart of every commercial real estate transaction and have a wealth of institutional knowledge about the market and are critical to deals getting done. On Opinions of Value, we will explore everything from the trends shaping the commercial real estate market at large to the challenges impacting the way valuation professionals conduct their jobs in this highly digital age. We're kicking off our series with an amazing panel of guest speakers. First off, we've got Jacinto Munoz, Head of Strategy and Compliance at Apprise by Walker & Dunlop, Patrick Craig, Executive Managing Director at Marshall & Stevens, and Erica Simmons, CEO of Archstone Group. Jacinto, go ahead and give us a little bit about yourself, take 60 seconds or so.
Okay, cool. Hi, everyone. My name is Jacinto Munoz. I'm M-A-I-S-R-A, A-I-G-R-S, and A-I-R-R-S. As Lucas mentioned, I'm Managing Director and Head of Strategy and Compliance for Apprise by Walker & Dunlop. I am in Irvine, California. I am also an Appraisal Institute instructor and USPAP instructor. And again, thank you, Lucas, for having us on today. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks. Patrick, how about yourself?
Hey, I'm Patrick Craig. I joined the business in 1986. So I'm an MAI with the Appraisal Institute. I have my MREX designation from the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors, and we're glad to be a part of the launch.
All right. And finally, Erica.
Hi, I'm Erica Simmons. I'm CEO of Archstone Group. I started in real estate, although not in the appraisal side of the business, when I was still in college in New York City. I moved down to DC. I became the CEO of Archstone Group. We're in 7 states in 3 countries. I'm an MAI, and I will hopefully be an AIGRS in the next month or so. So thanks, Lucas.
Awesome. Thank you all for joining. I really appreciate it. So in today's episode, we're going to discuss the effects of the global health crisis on the commercial real estate industry, really specifically how it's affecting commercial real estate appraisers and appraisals. And through the countless conversations with industry peers and valuation professionals, it's really revealed that demand for appraisal services is at an all-time high. So let's kick it off with the first question. How has the pandemic affected the way in which you value commercial real estate? And Patrick, maybe let's kick it off with you.
Well, it's had a couple of major effects. Initially, we the whole universe of appraisers was trying to figure out how to do the property inspections without getting sick or, getting others sick. So we had to get through that hurdle. We figured out that we also didn't really need to work from our offices. There were a lot of tools out there that we had to work remotely. And, as a group, the appraisal profession really was pretty nimble, making use of the great tools and technologies that are out there and kind of continuing, as if we were in the office running full steam ahead. And I agree, Lucas, it's never been busier. And I've been in the business 30 plus years.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think I would echo many of Patrick's sentiments there, because one of the things that I think caught everyone by surprise was just how, versatile and flexible our teams could be working from remote locations. And then I think, because at first everyone, when the pandemic first set in, I was working in a different role at a large financial institution. And there was a lot of uncertainty in the markets, and we were really quick to respond at working together almost without missing a beat from remote locations. And that's, I think, one thing that we had to think about, like, as Patrick said, like how we were going to inspect properties, how we were going to, again, with some multifamily properties, one of the biggest issues was tenants didn't necessarily want us in their spaces. So how would we assess condition of a property when we couldn't get into a space? So we had to kind of brainstorm around ways where we could really assess the condition of a property and get a certain level of comfort, as we talk about in USPAP, get a level of comfort relative to the credibility of assessing the condition. And finding unique ways around that by, again, some of them were having people take videos of the interior of the units, or providing using marketing brochures or things like that, just to augment our ability to get a comfort level with the property.
I agree. I think that in the beginning, that definitely was the case. I had to work on some hospitals in May very soon after the pandemic started, and nobody knew it was happening. And it was, I'm in DC, it was for a government client. They wanted to see if they could expand and how they could work on getting more equipment in certain rural areas. So that was an assignment that we took on that we didn't really know what to do at first. I just winged it kind of to be able to get the inside of a property. I think what's more telling a little bit is how the industry overall has responded to appraisals because of the pandemic. So we could get waivers at that time, right? I'm one of the younger members of my team. And so I said, well, I'll go, right? We didn't want to put any of our senior guys, senior in terms of experience, not necessarily age, but it was easier for me to go. And I think more people felt comfortable when I showed up also about my safety, because they felt like, all right, maybe I'm a little bit safer to be in the space. So I had hazmat suits, I had protective clothing. So I think that getting waivers potentially is something the industry might do, or bankers or lenders might be willing to do, and how they adapt to what's going on and are inspecting properties, as one example.
Awesome. And so let's shift gears just a little bit. I mean, you're talking about doing a lot of different work. How are current turn times running on average right now? I mean, what are you guys bidding out for jobs that you're working on?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I'll just hop in right here. In 2020, yep. We noticed that business was off because we were going through the beginning of COVID, and a lot of the banking clients had reduced demand for appraisals. But in 2021, they really came back. We started to see new transactions, more transactions, a lot of refinancing going on. So our business volume in 2021 really picked up. So we would normally quote 3 weeks to turn a project around. But as we are now in the heat of the fourth quarter and coming up to year end, we're quoting 4 to 6 weeks on a lot of stuff. And if the client is willing to pay a little more, we can bring it down to 3 weeks. But it's displaces some other work. So we find ourselves working longer hours and kind of doing I do, but you want to take care of your clients and try to meet this new groundswell of demand for services. So,
yeah, I agree, Lucas. You know, one of the biggest things that we've seen as of late, as Apprise, we've been around for a couple of years now, but we've really started to grow in 2021 as we built out the West Coast and really created a national platform for the group. And one of the things that we've seen is that there's been a real focus on the power of data, right? I mean, and that's kind of one of our primary goals, is looking at how we aggregate data. And I think that's what's helped us with all the great tools that we have at our fingertips, along with our Prize platform, and we use the Valkyrie platform as well. And I think those technological tools are helping us keep turn times in that 2 to 3 week time frame. We really haven't had to go much outside of that. But what we've noticed is that we've been able to keep pace, keep people relatively unstressed out. I mean, that's the one thing we always want to make sure that we're cognizant of. We try to send out a weekly kind of assessment for our team members to feel to kind of get an idea of how stressed out they are. Because at the same time, one of the biggest things in business today is really understanding how to balance a work-life balance with business needs. And the business needs right now is everyone seems to need things in like 2 to 3 weeks. And we're doing our best to try to make sure that we're staying in that 2 to 3 week. For most stabilized multifamily, some of the commercial stuff, we've definitely had to go out to the 3 to 4 week most of it's staying within 2 to 3 weeks for stabilized multifamily properties for us.
Yeah, I would say that we have definitely a technology platform that allows us to distribute our workload. So that is very helpful. And we have the ability to have other people enter data and help us gather data that the appraiser can then analyze. So that shortens our time frame, we're around 2 to 3 weeks on everything, except for things like affordable, which are typically longer lead times anyway. So I think it's not just the lead time, it's also managing your client and the expectations of your client and helping to educate the client as to what is going on now. I get calls for, can you do North Carolina because you're in DC and you're in Virginia? Because right now I'm getting quoted 3 months. I got a quote in Boston 3 days ago, last Thursday, because they were getting a quote of 2.5 months, minimum eight weeks. So we're not there, but I think that we have, because we were already in so many states in different countries, we were really well prepared for what happened. And being able to distribute our workload, and I can wake up and the data that I want to insert into Valkyrie or into our system is already there, right? 8 a.m., I can get up and it's already there. So I think having, most of our team, of course, is here, but having just that ability shortens our time so much. And we've hit all our deadlines. I think we had one late job in 3 months.
That's amazing. And Patrick, you mentioned, you kind of impacting appraisal fees and ratcheting those up with those fast return times. You know, how have appraisal fees really been impacted due to the current demand? I mean, are you seeing, them growing by more? I mean, obviously, over the last 10 years, it seems like they've been kind of on average of $3,200 for an appraisal fee. But how has that changed now?
Fees are up. We do a lot of different types of work. We do a lot of industrial, office, retail. So not only do we have to kind of figure out what's new in the market, what the impact of COVID has been on the market, we find that it's impossible to race through and get a full understanding of what you're appraising. You still need to take a certain amount of time to get it done. But having said all that, I think that the fees have really gone up. I don't want to really give a percentage, but two things that drive the fees up is that they're asking us to do more in less time. And we certainly see that the volume of deals has really, really picked up. And, like I said, we want to keep the clients happy. We want to provide the service to them. But if they want us to do it in a shorter time frame, they will agree to a higher fee. Let's say something that we normally do for $4,000, we could probably get $5,500 for now, which is great.
I would say that there's a willingness of certain clients to move themselves to the front of the line, as Patrick says. And the same, we were slow in 2020 for a long time. And 2021 is just a swell of just work. And we can't always move something up. Maybe Patrick has that ability. We don't have as much of an ability because, like Jacinto said, I'm very careful with my staff. Making sure that they're not going crazy. They work really hard during the week and I generally don't bother them on the weekends. Say, right, hey, it's 7. If you're still at work, it's Friday. You need to go out and do whatever it is you're going to go do. And that has allowed us to retain and keep balance. And I've had to train my clients not to do that either. Right. They don't expect a response on the weekend, right? Call us anytime. Between the time zones, we're here from basically, 8 a.m. until 10 p.m. So if you can't get it done during the week, during that time, you have to work on your schedule a little bit more. So there is some pressure to move things ahead, but we just try to keep things in balance and try to let our clients know that's what we're trying to do too.
Yeah, it's all about achieving that kind of good work-life balance. From your guys' perspective, what are you seeing as the real demand driver? Why are you really seeing this increase in demand? I mean, the whole sort of market is kind of in turmoil, but why are appraisers so busy? Like what's going on?
Erica, do you want to go first?
In commercial appraising, the average age of the appraiser is, I think, 66 now. So I think for some appraisers, they just said, I can retire or I don't want to work to the same degree I was pre-COVID. People saw a different way of living. That's not just appraisers, that's everyone. And there had been a long time where we didn't really have a lot of people being trained to become appraisers, right? So we have a system where every person here is training two people, right? That's I know the maximum legally is 3, but to keep it balanced, to get real people being able to do real work, to get butts in seats at this point, that's what we're doing. So it means that we have a senior appraiser and then we have 2 trainees. So because we're busy and because the fees, I think, are reflective of our knowledge, we would always get teased that appraisers are the smartest person in the room and the lowest paid in that transaction, right? So with the fees, it allows us to do things that might have been hard before. Offering a trainee $40,000 who just graduated and who's 28 and has a lot of student loan debt wasn't making the cut. So I think between interest rates, I think some pent-up demand from last year, people having money from refinancing, especially in the industrial sector, has driven investment actually even in other sectors. So it's a combination, I think, of a lot of macro items that have come to this point.
Yeah, I would agree with what Erica said. And also, we do a lot of trust and estate work. There's, you know, families with a lot of wealth. They hold their wealth inside of portfolios of real estate. The environment was really good in 2021 because the new administration had announced that they were going to be making some changes to the tax code that would potentially be less beneficial if you were looking to pass wealth to the next generation. Now, the other thing was that COVID came in and it drove some property markets down in value. So that was like the perfect time to do it, 2021. Mm-hmm. You know, it might change in 2022. So let's get things done in 2021. And oh, yeah, our values are down because, you know, it's a retail center that had to give rent abatements, or in New York City, you know, some apartment markets kind of crumbled a bit. So we're finding that those types of clients that are looking to pass generational wealth in real estate, they found it to be a really good opportunistic time. Now, those tax code changes, it looks like they're going to be negotiated out of the budget. So people have now a little bit more room, but because there was all that buzz in the air about getting your estate work done and your gifting done, it's still going on. People are still doing it. So in addition to the regular bank work, the fund work, work we do for, you know, private equity clients, our account, you know, referral sources, our accountants and attorneys are keeping us very busy.
Agreed. And unfortunately, I also did, as you know, Lucas, we have a very large tax group in Texas, in our Texas office. You know, they do thousands of analyses per year to see who would be a good target through partnership attorneys. They can't even take work from the rest of us right there. We usually have to try to back them up with workload. But we also, unfortunately, got a lot of retrospective appraisals this year from people who passed away, especially in New York, from COVID. Yeah. So we also have a lot of legal work, estate work. That work doesn't go away. And in part, retrospectives were accelerated in 2021 because of the market in Manhattan and in Brooklyn and New York City in 2020. So yeah, it's a lot on top of bank work. So just there's not enough people to go around, not enough appraisers to go around right now.
Yeah, and how are your respective firms sort of managing that increased workload? I mean, Erica, you mentioned, you know, hiring on assistants and being able to have a little bit of a distributed model. You know, what are you doing to really manage that workload?
That's as much as we can do. We do use another service called IntelliCree sometimes. That's a different service where they can help us gather data and help us, and they can put it on our server. So we have, that's one of the data collection services that we can use to, they can go and pull the zoning, they can go and pull the tax maps. We still have to spend a little bit of time, of course, when we get it, but that also shortens the time. And it's what time? So it's not that I don't spend time, it's that instead of spending 2 hours, I'm spending 1, right? So the senior appraiser's time can be spent where it needs to be. So we've basically been able to redirect the time of the appraiser who needs to be able to do the work. And balance the workload. I mean, there's not much else we can do. I mean, appraising is an apprentice business. Before someone can really write a report, it takes 2 years. So it's a process, right? We have a tiered system where, you know, we have a senior appraiser, a one-year appraiser, and then a trainee, right? They're both trainees, but the one-year trainee has a lot more experience than the lower. And that's it. That's how we can do it. Not a lot of choices here in our model. We're a service business. I'd love to hear what you guys are doing, because I'd love to hear it if I can do that too. But that's what we're able to do in our model.
Yeah. Patrick, how are you managing your increased workload?
So I think there's no doubt that we're working more hours, but we built a model years ago. Every year we bring in a group of interns and we train them up using our platform. And we have Valkyrie at the center of the platform. We find that after 6 months, they've had enough training that they can become a real critical member of a team. So we've been really lucky. We formed multiple teams, and when we bring in interns, they're placed on these teams that we've built. Also, we've diversified. We have a team out in LA and a team down in Florida now, and it's the same model. So you keep feeding in good times and in bad. Keep feeding and investing in your people and creating more and more efficiencies, as many as you can. So the process is not burdensome, but you know you could count on your people because they're so highly trained and they're using the right tools, and you know you're delivering a high quality product. But I would say all in all, thank God we've done that, but we still have to put in extra hours.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely tough. You've got to teach the younger generation and you know get them into the fold, right? And show them how everything is kind of working and get them up to speed. And, you know, I'm curious, Jacinto, I know you guys, you've been growing quite a bit in the last year or two. You know, I'm sure you're using a lot of, different tools to manage your increased workload. I mean, and curious, you know, how that's really required you to become more thoughtful in how you manage your time as well.
Absolutely. And I think that's what it really boils down to is you have to be thoughtful. You have to be strategic about how you manage the time for the team, right? I mean, it really comes down to having organization, trying to achieve organizational excellence at all time, right? And as I said a little bit earlier, with this this real focus on technology and the aggregation of data, the democratization of data has made things much simpler, right? And as you know, Apprise is a JV between Walker and Dunlop and a data science company, GeoPhy. Well, GeoPhy has aggregated 2.5 million property records for us across the country. So one, we have a database of property records that are right inside of our database that we have at the tips of our fingers. And part of the process is just like any of the platforms that are used, you know, the goal of Apprise is really trying to, like everyone's talked about here, find ways to streamline the process and kind of create that flywheel so that way we can move from assignment to assignment and use efficiencies from the previous assignment we just worked on. And some of that's done with machine learning, right? And I think that's part of what we're trying to achieve at Apprise is have some of our platforms, you know, engage in that machine learning and understanding what our appraisers are doing. And we have a technology team kind of behind the scenes looking at what our teams are doing and seeing where we could have areas of efficiency. And like, you know, all of the others on this platform, we're trying to implement processes where we have a parallel processing. In my prior role before this, I was lucky enough to work in an organization that really loved to focus on technology and looking for ways to be more efficient. And I've carried some of those dynamics into this role where now we're using more junior members, more cost-effective team members to help our people really be able to focus on their primary role, which is the valuation component. If we can have, you know, some of the more junior team members focus on more of the menial tasks and have our team members really focus on the valuation piece, that's what our ultimate goal is. And again, having that analyst program, parallel processing, kind of a follow the sun model where we have people working around the clock on our appraisal assignments and gathering data.
Amazing. It makes perfect sense. And you know, you guys have mentioned really using a lot of tools and resources to really help you improve your process. You know, I'm curious what tools you guys are using, especially in this sort of remote environment where you know, maybe we're not working from our office. And, you know, as appraisers, you know, in your sales, I mean, you're going out and doing inspections. I mean, it's a normal part of the appraisal process. So what other tools are you using outside of maybe those evaluation tools that really are helping you to, you know, stay more engaged with your team and, you know, get that work done faster?
I'll tell you, I live and die by Slack. I mean, I feel like I'm on Slack all the time. I mean, that's one way that I am staying engaged with our team. And you know, part of our kind of our paradigm at Apprise, you know, we're a little different than the traditional structure where you have a fee split arrangement, right? We're typically a salary plus bonus type model. So we try to implement a program similar to like what we had in my prior role, where we would, if needed, we could use people from across geographic boundaries to help us really fulfill needs. And that way, in certain markets. So if one market's really busy, we come together as a team and we might have appraisers from, say, the Pacific Northwest help us get a report together that might be in Tennessee with somebody overseeing the process locally. So that way, make sure that it has that local touch on it as well. And when people are on salary, there's more incentive to do something like that instead of worrying about, you know, who's going to get the fee split.
Mm-hmm. Erica,
we do the same.
Yeah.
We have a partial salary, partial fee split model. And that's the exact same thing. So we have something what we call geographically anchored, right? So DC can work on a New York job, which is overseen by the New York guy, and New York can work on a DC job, which is going to be overseen by one of us here. And in terms of tools, as I said, we have people when we wake up, generally that data is already pulled. You know, that we don't just use Valkyrie, we're similar to Apprise. We have another software that we use that's in-house that also has a lot of data. So we can sift through that more quickly because we have more options. We don't have to wait to do any of those things. For example, I was in inspection right before this call. I don't know, hopefully you don't see my lunch behind me. I think I hit it. But, you know, half my day, I can upload my photos right there. I can have my notes all entered into the system before I drive away and come back to the office. So I have, as soon as I finished, I called one of my trainees. She's actually in California right now. I said, hey, do you see the photos? We spend 15 minutes on the phone. Probably when I finish, we'll have a description done and some of that other stuff already done. So those are things that we have to do to be able to get the process moving quickly. And having a salary is a big factor. Big factor, because it eliminates a lot of the in previous jobs and in previous setups, I think, for appraisals or brokerages, the fiefdoms that come with the territory. It eliminates that territorialism that occurred, I think, in other models. That's a huge factor for us too.
Yeah. And some of the other tools that, like I said, Lucas, that we use that I forgot to mention was just, you know, we have some that are proprietary to us, like Enodo, which was like an automated underwriting system where we have, you know, expense comps nationwide. And again, Zoom, this platform right here, I think we've all lived on this thing. And in the last year, I'm probably on Zoom, you know, 80% of my day, it feels like, sometimes between teaching classes and interacting with my colleagues and teams. So I, you know, those are, you know, Slack and Zoom are the primary vehicles for connecting with my team on a daily basis. You know, good old email. I swear, you know, those are the real foundational tools that help us stay in touch with our teams for sure.
And we like I said, you know, when COVID first hit, we had to make a very quick move to work remotely. That was very successful. We got a pretty much paperless system. We have a great cloud environment. We have great VPN. File sharing is excellent. You know, I think at the core of what we do is a bunch of mini procedures that got to fit into a bucket that turns into an appraisal. I mean, one of the things that we really like is, for example, Valkyrie. You know, it's a great tool for searching, you know, what you've done in a locale. If you've done a certain property type in a locale, that's just great to have that background information. So we're doing double the work if we can leverage a comp or two that we've already researched. We can do that through using Valkyrie and also the mapping component in there. I mean, there. So if you think of different processes that you have in an appraisal, you could do them all virtually, and if you could work with your team members who are, you know, plugged in and centered around the desk, or the person centered around the desk is receiving, like Eric said before, you know, subject photos. You can really open up communication through Zoom. We actually use a lot of Microsoft Teams. You know, we form groups, we have, you know, share documents and all that kind of stuff, and have meetings on the fly, which we do all the time. So it's great knowing what the world used to be like to working in a world that's completely different and, you know, so automated, you know, really allowing for a professional to step up. It's great to be appraising today.
Yeah. Valkyrie also has an online, has an app. Amazing little hint. But I do think we already had a lot of systems set up. Like, I don't use Slack. I won't use it. I won't implement it. I don't have a Zoom account. I don't even have a Zoom account. We don't use it because I also don't want our team to be distracted, right? I want them to be able to focus on their work. So we have another system that we use, not system, just another app that we use, called Pragly, which is now called Pesto. And we have kind of open offices. So you can kind of tag someone and it simulates an office. You can say, Erica's busy, but I'm going to ask her if I can talk to her at 4:00. Because my job isn't just to run jobs. It's also to, one, hopefully pass off my job to my senior guy, but also to run the company, right? And we're in a process of expansion. We have our cohorts that we have to train to. And I want to also be sure that they have the ability to speak to someone who's senior. I'm not the only senior person here. There are many people with 30, 40 years of experience who work for Archstone Group. So we have a simulator that allows them to knock on someone's door virtually. And because we had done international work before, you know, I was in India, I've done work in Peru, I've done work in Africa for different agencies here in the United States and for State Department. So in that sense, we were already had a very strong system of being able to work around the clock. As a company, we didn't have to really reinvent things. I just had to say, hey, anyone who wasn't on this system before, you're now on it. But pretty much everyone was already on it. So we were very, very lucky. Yeah. And it's been successful. So
that's great. It sounds like everybody's really moving to be more digital. And there's a lot of great tools out there. So interesting on which ones you guys are using and making you more efficient. You guys have kind of all talked about hiring folks, you know, over the last few years. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, how difficult is it to hire experienced appraisers in the current market? I mean, it seems like they're getting offers right and left from different firms that are really trying to grow and expand. And, you know, how are you guys seeing that affect your business?
It's tough right now. So we have multiple valuation disciplines. Our financial valuation group, they do BVALs and things like that. They have been looking for, I'm going to say, a 2 or 3 year senior associate type, and it's impossible to find them. What we've been doing is growing, you know, home growing them from intern to full time to fee split team player, and I think that methodology works. But right now, if you're looking for a job and you're actually hungry and qualified, you're probably going to get it. But it's very difficult to find good people.
Can I blame Jacinto? They're hiring everyone away. The large firms that are getting huge sums of money, the Apprises and Bowerys of the world. But we had started hiring trainees previous, right? We're a small firm. We're not huge like Apprise or CBRE, right? We're a mid-sized firm. We're not small anymore, and we're growing, but we're still a mid-sized firm. So believe me, during 2020, I felt like it was purgatory, right? We're too small to be big. We're too big to be small. It was very tough. But we had already started hiring people because there was already competition with the retirement of, with the aging of the industry in terms of our average overall metrics. So I have one trainee who's going to be getting his license this month. I have another trainee who's going to be getting it in March, and we have a new cohort that's starting, and another trainee that will be getting theirs in June or July, right? July. So, So even though we don't have as many because we're not as large a firm, those are big numbers for us. Hiring outside is very difficult. We've been able to bring on one or two people annually. That has also grown a little bit, but it's been difficult to hire experienced people. There are so many options and large firms with a lot of equity behind them right now to be able to kind of set the terms of the market that we can offer other things, but we can't offer, you know, a $400,000 salary for someone in Tennessee. Like, we can't do that. We can offer a good amount, a good salary. We can offer a good team to work with. And we do have proprietary software that's unusual for a firm of our size. But hiring an experienced person, as I say from New York, forget about it, right? It's forget about it. Not going to happen for someone our size. Just isn't.
Yeah. And, you know, to Erica's point, you know, like I said, it has been tougher hiring. I mean, since I've been here, I know that maybe early on there were some, you know, some decent signing bonuses, you know, for retention bonuses with the prize. Since I've been here, we've really been trying to focus on getting people to come over here and getting them excited about the technology prospects that we're trying to offer. Like I said, you know, we have GeoPhy as a potential as a partner who could potentially provide some significant lift in the data aggregation space. And that's where we're really trying to make some moves. But we've went from 40 or 39 at the end of 2020, and we're right at about 80 right now. Because that really was the inclusion of the expansion of the West Coast with me coming on board in April. And then Russ Zellner also coming with me, and then us building out the Pacific Northwest now in Arizona. And but, you know, the reality is that there is a ton of competition out there. I talked to, you know, like I'm involved, as you know, Lucas, in all aspects at the Appraisal Institute and with LDAC. And that's how we first met, was at LDAC. And I mean, I'm forever grateful for that event. I mean, because of all the great people that I've met in my career. And everyone that I talk to at every organization is hurting for people right now. And I think that's why, you know, the things that we're all collectively talking about here, Erica's talking about, I'm talking about, Patrick, you know, we really have to get on the understanding that data and technology are going to be the next leg of our business, and the proprietary software that we're developing are going to help us get there. And like, you know, like I said, the Valkyrie's been a great partner for us over the last couple of years. And I think, you know, everyone that I've ever heard talk about Valkyrie loves the system. So I think it's tools like that are going to, you know, really help change our profession going forward.
I think I agree. You know, we have cars and we use that in certain areas, right, for a prize. I think, right, they're using their softwares for multifamily and those in Bowery's multifamily. So that is coming to bear, right? In more sophisticated properties or more esoteric properties, we have to use Valkyrie, of course, right? And we've used Valkyrie for ages, as you know. I think a bigger factor for us in retaining and attracting people beyond the salary model is having our software that allows us to balance the workload. If we want to hire someone who's, you know, 24, 28, 30, we have to, they're not going to work how the industry used to work, where it's almost a hazing model, right? Oh, you get to pull all-nighters and you work all weekend. When I call you, when I send you something at 1 o'clock on a Saturday, I expect you to respond. It's not. I actually think the workload model, the workload software that we use is maybe even more equally as important, because otherwise you can train people and then you won't be able to retain them because they're working too much. And I think that anyone who is in grad school today, and we hire a lot of people straight out of grad school, and get them training and salaried right away, hiring those people, there's a lot of competition in other areas of the CRE market. And if we want to compete with those, we have to keep in mind what they are offering, as well. It's not just other appraisers we're competing with.
I'm curious now that's really affecting your, you know, the wages for trainees and other entry-level positions. I mean, I'm sure you all have hired many trainees over the last year or two. You know, how are the trends on wages?
Up. Yeah. I mean, you know, I teach at one of the universities here in California, and all the kids there, they're, when they interact with me and they have questions and they want to talk, they have like 3-4 job offers. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have so many job offers, so many opportunities. And the reality is I'm just, again, being myself diverse, again, first generation Mexican, we talked about diverse candidates have an even longer list of potential opportunities in front of them. So, we're all still trying to make sure that we're hiring the most qualified people, but we also want to make sure that our companies are, reflect diversity and diversity of thought. So the reality is, hiring good people right now is really tough. I mean, they all have like 20 job offers in front of them.
So I think, I graduated last year in 2020. I came down to DC from New York to go to grad school. And it was, the 4-year program. So very painful, part-time while doing this was, I try to think about how I did it at the time. I think I wouldn't have made it through. And then also teaching, right? I taught also at the same time. Once I finished the first leg of my degree, because I had a dual, a dual issue that I did at Hawkins. But at the same time, it's allowed me to pull students from there, being an active alumni at Columbia. I got one person from Columbia, which is amazing. My experience having graduated last year is not that diverse candidates have a ton of job offers or more job offers. Everyone has a ton of job offers. Everyone. And I think it's just from seeing me in class and, helps a lot. People don't just see me once, they see me on campus. The campus is literally like 2 blocks from here. They can come here and work. I have one guy who comes here and works. I think he has an exam literally right now, but it's easy for him to come here and physically work and see me and ask me questions and see if it's something they want to do. And that is a huge bridge that we have been able to cross in terms of being able to recruit students. And also because in DC, there's 3 students right here. There's Georgetown, Hopkins, and GW right down the road. So it's much easier. And we're located literally 30 seconds from the train station. So those things, are we giving a commuter tax? Are we giving commuter benefits? Even small things that we may not think of or we're just used to are things I constantly have to consider. Are we recruiting people by offering them their student, paying off part of their student loan? Yes, right? That's very attractive to a lot of students, especially if they're a Georgetown or Hopkins student, which tends to be, or an American student, which tend to have a little bit higher priced tuitions. So there's a package of things that we think about offering to bring in people, in addition to higher salaries, just like everybody else. So,
Patrick, any thoughts?
What was your initial question, Lucas?
What sort of trends are you seeing on, hiring for trainees or entry level in terms of, increased wages? I think that's sort of an obvious thing that we can say, but, how has that really been impacting you?
Yeah, no, it's definitely tough. Although with our program, we do our folks in as interns, and they're grateful for the opportunity. I think what we realize is that, as people, we want to have great chemistry. You want to have a great office. We have a flexible office too. So, everyone's set up to work from home. If there's a spike or Delta variant or Omicron there and people feel comfortable working from home, they can do that. But what we've done in our office is, we made it in a very central location, the Empire State Building. It's commutable from New Jersey, Westchester, Connecticut, Long Island, of course, all the boroughs of New York City. So, we're in the middle of a great workforce. So we don't have any shortage of finding people. Most people, we are a fee split shop. Most people really like the opportunity. They like the platform. They like the team and mentorship model that we have. They do get to making money pretty quickly after year one. We have some people making very high levels of income. They've learned how to be super efficient and really good at what they do, and they've developed a great client following. So part of it is culture. Part of it is, being in the right spot at the right time. And as a matter of fact, we just took a sublease with an accounting firm. And the accounting firm has been a great referral source for us, but we're now merging the two cultures. They're based out of Italy, and they've got a lot of international folks. So we're like a mini melting pot right here in the Empire State Building. And it's pretty exciting. So I think that's attractive. And what I also think is the history of our program and people that it has produced. You know, when someone comes in and start speaking with some of our staff members, wow, how long have you been here? 5 years? And what are you making? Like, seriously? So it's like they're willing to put in the time to get in the game.
Makes a lot of sense.
I would say that diverse candidates have a hard time with the fee split model. So that's one of the reasons why we're a combination, salary plus fee split. A lot of diverse candidates, at least that I meet, I've done other, seminars in trying to women and to, Hispanics and to Black Americans. And it's very difficult for them to make it past the first year without the fee split model. So to make it through that bridge, that 1 year jump, is very difficult. So that's one of the reasons why we have a salary model, especially for the trainees.
Awesome. So last question here, as we sort of end this first episode, we'll kick this off to Jay first. You know, what are you really seeing as the most relevant issue for appraisers in 2022? You know, what's ahead for us?
I think to keep it short and sweet, I think it's continuing to hire good people, both at the senior and junior level. I think that it's a bit easier as, you know, being part of a larger company like, you know, Walker, who has a historical culture for being a great place to work for many years, making that list every year, year after year. So, I mean, it's a little bit easier, but it's still very difficult in the current environment. And then just kind of ensuring that we're trying to do everything we can to really bring technology to the forefront of what we do in creating efficiencies for our people, because ultimately the goal here at Apprise is to be able to have people work less and make more money. Because as Eric had pointed out earlier, the one thing I've just seen is that, you know, the work model that we've historically known doesn't necessarily translate to today's market.
Amazing. Erica, What do you see for 2022?
I think how we continue to integrate data and what our clients will do about that. I think hiring and training, and I think moving appraisal into a more professional model, continuing to push that envelope as a more professional model, linking up with CPA firms, linking up with attorneys. I think for us, those are the three big things for sure. Data, hiring, training, and affiliating, linking with other professions.
Great. Patrick?
Yeah, and I'd say, with everything that's changing in the market, different property types have been impacted by COVID in different ways. There are some that are doing very well and some that really took a bad hit. And it could vary, county to county too. So I think understanding your markets, being on top of the trends in the market is incredibly important. And so towards that end, we do monthly publications. My entire team is involved with writing publications. So they're getting educated on running analytics, showing trend lines, writing about the market. We have meetings where we speak about the market. We bring in others to speak to us about the market. To us, it's all about understanding the markets and being as sharp as you can with boots on the ground and doing a great job for your clients. Then if you do that, the clients will come back. So just keep focused on the people, the education, and advancing the skill set.
Fantastic. Well, we're coming to the end of our first episode here. Thank you all for joining. And a special thank you to our panelists, Erica, Jacinto, and Patrick. Looking forward to our next episode and, hope to have you guys back on soon in 2022 to see how your year is progressing and how these predictions unfold. So thank you all very, very much.
Anytime. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lucas.
Bye, guys.
That was great.
Take care.